Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Behold the man on the cross. This is why God is man. This is why the eternal second person of the Trinity has taken human flesh upon himself. This is the reason. Behold the man on the cross, dying. Behold his hands. The night before, those hands washed the disciples' feet. Now they are pinned with nails to the crossbeam of the cross. Those were the hands that touched the lepers, that picked up the bread to declare that it was his very body. Now these hands jerk with pain every time he has to pull himself up to take a breath. That's why God has hands. Behold the man. His skin has been shredded by the beating suffered at the hands of the soldiers. Every time he moves, the skin scrapes on the rough beam of the cross. This is why God has a skin. Behold the man. His feet, nailed to the cross, bear his weight as he dies. These are the feet that walk from town to town as he taught his disciples, as he healed the sick and preached the good news of freedom for the captive. These are the feet that Mary anointed with that expensive ointment, washed with her tears and wiped with her hair. These feet are now bound and endure the stabbing pains as they push up on the nails, pinning them in place. Behold the heel, which in this act of dying is crushing the head of the serpent, destroying the kingdom of Satan, and answering for man's sinful rebellion. This is why God has feet. Behold the man. His head has rivulets of blood flowing down from each place where the thorn has punctured his skin. His head should be rightly crowned with majesty and glory. Over his head is the charge that brought him a death sentence: Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. This is why God has a head. Behold the man. His lungs slowly fill with fluid. These are the lungs that breathed into Adam the breath of life. Now these lungs cannot exhale without the man pulling his whole body up on those nails to gasp for breath. Behold the lungs that expel one final breath as he cries out, "It is finished," and gives up his spirit and dies. This is why God has lungs. His bones remain unbroken throughout this torturous ordeal. For this reason, every sacrifice, every Passover lamb, every bull, ram, turtle dove, had to be healthy, intact, no broken bones. They had to be a perfect specimen. This is why God has bones. The soldier thrust that spear into his side, causing a river of blood and water to pour out, confirming that he is truly dead. His heart has stopped. The sleep of death has come upon him. His blood pours out from his lifeless body, staining the beams of the cross, spilling onto the dirt, watering his creation. His blood was shed first as that eight-day-old boy when he was brought to the temple. This is the blood which the crowd had eagerly asked for. His blood be on us and on our children. This is the blood that was foreshadowed on every day of the atonement, when the blood of beasts was splattered on the mercy seat, on the altar, and on the people. This is the blood that he gave to his disciples in the cup that night when he was betrayed, when he said, "Shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." This is the blood that proves that this God was also truly and fully man. This is the blood by which this eternal high priest enters once for all into the most high holy place, giving sinful men access to a holy God. And all of this is no accident. It is not a tragedy, for Jesus himself said, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." This is why God is man. Not to teach you how to be good, not to show you the right way to live, not to set a perfect example, not to impart his wise teaching. God is man so that he can die for men. He has a life so that he can lay it down in exchange for yours. Behold the man. Amen.